We're on page, where are we here? Page 124. And we're starting in the middle of the page. I believe it's the second chapter, right? Well, the very first legitimate chapter, because the other one's a hangover from the page previous. And it starts with the words, "He knew that criticism would set about." He knew that criticism would set about. So we're on page 124 of Sketches from the Life of Paul. Okay, which is that. Yeah, Sketches from the Life of Paul. I always forget how the title goes. And it says this: "He knew that criticism would set about controverting the Christian interpretation of the revealed word, and skepticism would treat the gospel of Christ with scoffing and derision. It behooved him to introduce most carefully the, the great truths he wished to teach them. True Christianity is a religion of progress. It is ever giving light and blessing, and has in reserve still greater light and blessing to bestow on those who receive its truths." You see, this is one of the things that my wife and I were talking about this the other day, in fact. When somebody comes up to you and you know who they are, and you know they're not walking with Christ, and they're in open sin, and you know, by their fruits you shall know them, and so you know who you're dealing with, okay? And they'll try to schmooze you into thinking they're a brother or a sister. They'll say, "Okay, take care, brother," or something like that, and they're doing so by deception, because you know. See, this is one of the beauties of being a Christian. It is always giving us a new light in regards to His will, His truth, and everyone around us too. And we get a little bit better insight as to what's going on. And this is one of the reasons I believe that the Lord's allowing us, when we get home, to be able to continue. Well, it's not a matter of allowing, it's a matter of blessing us with the opportunity to study the Scriptures throughout entire eternity. And some people think, well, is it not going to get boring after a couple of trillion years? I don't think so. The reason being is, even this morning again, oh, and by the way, I wanted to praise the Lord on this, and I'm probably going to seek out a couple of three, maybe four or five brothers or sisters, whoever. I'm in Ezekiel right now, one of the books that I'm studying every morning, and I'm doing a chapter in each book, but Ezekiel, I take a little more time because I'm defining every symbol. I'm putting the definition of every symbol in Ezekiel in my notes as to what I already have defined in my normal studies. And then when I'm all done with all those books, I'm only on chapter 8 or 9, when I'm all done with all those, I wanted to get a couple of the brethren together and go through it again and define all the symbols, because I think the Lord is opening up Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Zechariah, some of the more intense prophetic books of the Bible, in the same way He opened up Daniel and Revelation to William Miller right before the midnight cry. And so, because I'm seeing things in Ezekiel I never saw before, and I'm seeing, it's just blowing my mind, I got to tell you, and I praise His name for that. But that's one of the beauties of Christianity. That's why I'm saying, even after a trillion years, you're still going to be blessed with reading the Word, because think about it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you've ever looked at that video on the internet that they did, this came out, they put it on the internet when YouTube finally arrived, but I saw this video before YouTube was even invented, where I don't know if I saw the video or the white paper on it. I just remember the Keep on Trucking guy. I don't know if you've ever seen those bumper stickers, but there's this bumper sticker that says "Keep on Trucking." It was like 70s and 80s. And the guy would lean back. And there was a guy in the neighborhood when I was off Cicero Avenue that would literally walk up and down the street with a big old boombox on his shoulder. This is before the Walkman and all this. And so he has this big boombox on his shoulder with eight batteries in it. and it's blaring, and both speakers are just blaring through the right side of his head, so and everybody can hear it. And he would lean back when he would walk, and legs would go straight out. He had long legs, and he wasn't laid back as far back as you see the drawing on the bumper stickers. But there's a reason I bring this up. When I saw this video, where it was a computer animation that made the computer made the animation out of the information all the scientists around the world inputted into the computer. It took them years to do this, because it took them years to get all these scientists together, because there's hundreds, I don't know, maybe thousands of scientists that's, you know, cellular technology. They look at the way God creates cells, right? Whether or not they're believing God did it, who knows, who cares, that doesn't matter. The point is, we know God made those cells. And so the interdependency of the cells is mind-boggling, just like with Creation Week, where certain bugs were created by our God on one day of the week, and then the plants on the other day of the week, which proves it couldn't, creation couldn't have been in 6,000 years, 1,000 years for each day. No, it was 6 literal days, because a certain wasp wouldn't be here, and a certain fig tree or a fig plant wouldn't be here, because the fig plant needs the wasp to pollinate it, and the wasp needs the fig plant to lay its eggs. It's just a weird way they work together. Well, the human cell is like that, and it has all these interdependencies. The outside wall of the cell, for example, can't remain intact without what's going on the inside, and what's going on the inside cannot stay alive unless the cell wall is intact. But here's my thing. When the chromosomes split, right, when they split, there's all this activity, and this happens billions of times in your body, trillions of times in your body, actually, all throughout the day. You know, you're constantly remaking new cells. And so this happens billions and billions and billions of times all day long in your body alone. Okay? And when they split, all this activity happens to where, okay, the split is about to happen, and so all these little, whatever you call them, beings, I don't know, that do their little duties inside the cell. It's like a whole universe. I mean, it's like a world in there, better yet. And they all have certain duties they got to do, and then there's this one thing that has to carry this massive, it looks like a gigantic blob. It kind of looks like a coronavirus without the spikes and stuff, you know. It's a bumpy ball. It has to carry it to the other side before the chromosomes are done splitting. And in order to do it, it has legs that look like the Keep On Trucking guy on the bumper stickers. And that's why I laughed the first time I saw it. I says, oh my, look at that. That the Keep On, because it literally walks like legs, except for there's not really kneecaps, but it's kind of like a wave. A string that's like a wave that has a foot at the end of it, and the wave kind of throws a wave, and then the foot lands. The next foot lifts up, and then a wave throws it out there and lands it down. It's kind of like two strands of hair just with that make up the legs, but it's like maybe 10 or 15 strands of hair for each leg or something. You know, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's an amazing video. You got to see it. And the reason I mention all that, if you can keep up with this brain. or I can't keep up with yours, if you know what I mean, is, somebody found the video? Okay, thanks. Alex found the video. Don't play it yet, because it'll probably max out my CPU. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. I think it's a DNA. Is it the DNA thing? Oh, no. The walking thing on DNA. I don't think it's DNA. I think it's the chromosome splitting thing, because I remember the scientists explaining everything that was going on decades ago. But I'll play that in a minute here in the room. But I don't know if I can. Now that I on the stream, I'd have to put it in the stream. But the thing is, it's all that activity in that single cell. Every bit of the cells have their own little duties, and that's just a cell. And you got trillions of these cells in your body. different types of cells too, because you got a bunch of different types of cells that make up your kidney. You got a bunch of different kinds of cells that make up your eyeball and your toenail, okay? And the hair on your head, which is all dead once it comes out of your head, okay? So, hence the reason for split ends sometimes, depending on, and it can also tell you how your health is by looking at your hair under a microscope, because it kind of like telegraphs as to what's going on in your body. It's really, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's just like the iris on the eyeball. It, you know, there's doctors that can actually look at your eye and tell you. And I've done this. I've seen the eye charts on YouTube, and I looked at my eyes really close up. But the only way to do it is to take a picture of your eyeball with your cell phone and then zoom in on your own eye. And I found out the certain areas where I was having health issues, and it was exactly as the eye said it would be on those charts. And again, so why did I share all that? You'll understand in a trillion years, okay? No, not that I'm super intelligent. No, what I meant was, at the end of a trillion years, you're going to read the Bible a lot differently than you're reading it now. Now we read it word by word, sentence by sentence. By then, I would think we're going to be going by truth by truth, nuance by nuance, understanding, prophecy, I mean, whatever. There's such deep, I mean, look at the rabbinic code itself. This is how those rabbis found out that Ellen White was really a prophet. I don't know why they asked the silly question, like, where did she learn rabbinic code? I mean, that was probably a trick question, because you can't go to school to learn rabbinic code. Yeah, I don't even think we would count the years. Amen, Arthur. Amen to that, bro. But yeah, so I think it was a trick question, just, you know, if they were honest, because you know you can't learn the rabbinic code. And what's that? Some people don't know, like maybe some of the new folks. Shakespeare has a certain style in how he writes. I have a certain style in how I write. You have a certain style in how you write. Zechariah has a certain style. John has a certain style. So does Daniel and Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, and whoever. You know, anybody in the Bible, the patriarchs and prophets, all have a certain writing style. Here's the thing. All of them also have a second style built into their style. And they don't even realize it. Because first and foremost, none of them met each other, except, of course, you talk about the apostles, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or even, you know, Peter and some of the books he wrote. But the rabbinic code is the style on how our God writes. And that rabbinic code, or the style, the writing style of our Heavenly Father, is found in Genesis to Revelation, in every single solitary book, no matter who wrote it. And it's hidden inside the style of the man that's writing, like Moses, you know, the first five books, or Paul, the majority of the New Testament. And so the reason I shared all that is also because of the fact that when we get home and we're studying the scriptures, there's going to be so much more to study. I mean, think about it, like, especially for the people that really get into cellular technology, let's say. Okay, and I'm not talking about phones. And why is my headphones keep going in and out? I don't know if I got a short. I keep sounding, maybe my ears are turning off. But like say if I got into the study of cells and how they work, it would take trillions of years, I think, to figure out what each and every little bugger, if you want to call them that, does inside the cell. All these different things they do. And or even if you don't do cellular technology, you know, you're looking at a caterpillar in heaven, and you're studying the caterpillar, and you go way past just what it looks like, what it eats, and what its daily routine is. You go in to see how it was created and why certain things are in there. As a matter of fact, there was a sister that used to be part of our number many years ago, but then she went with the folks that... she wasn't a problem, but she had some friends, I guess. I don't know why she did it this way, but she had some friends on the West Coast there that left us years ago when they had that big schism, if you will. But the she did an in-depth study once. I don't know if it was her own work or she borrowed some of it, which is okay. You know, we all have to start somewhere. And but she showed when you go way deep inside the way the human body is made, you'll find the crucifix. You'll find Creation Week. I mean, it's just it's the way certain things are made, or even inside the brain, the way certain things are made to help us with our thoughts and stuff like that. You can actually see Scripture and the way. And now this is really, really deep. This is really impossible to explain without having the pictures and all this, especially that one picture of that crucifix. You know, not the Vatican crucifix. I'm talking about the actual Golgotha-looking thing. Where it looks like a cross and it looks like there's a body on it, and it's either in a heart muscle or it's in the brain muscle of the brain, or what, I can't remember exactly where those cells were, but you could see that inside the creation of mankind, right down to how mankind is made with you know, sound waves, and you know, because God spoke and sound waves is in everything, because he said let there be this, let there be that. And so, you know, and of course I went all that just in regards to what she just said here, in regards to it is, when she's talking about Christianity, she says it is ever giving light and blessing and has in reserve still greater light and blessing to bestow on those who receive its truths. And that's true. A trillion years from now, you could still be reading the Bible and you can dig into it and find truths in there that will still shock you. Just like if you were into cellular technology a trillion years from now and see how, wow, I never realized the toenail on that walking leg thing had a duty itself. And there's a cell inside the cell. You know, it's like, yeah, so you really dig. And so, yeah, we're not going to be bored. We're going to have plenty of exciting research, if you will, you know. And if you're new and the Bible isn't that exciting yet, well, here's a neat way to avoid that problem. Stop watching Hollywood movies. Seriously. Stop watching. Amen, Brother Arthur. Yeah, like a code. But yeah, stop watching Hollywood movies, because the Hollywood movies are designed to, with the shoot 'em up and bang 'em up, you know, flashy this, flashy that, to make everything look. In other words, it gets to the point where the Bible comes off boring because it doesn't have the special effects. I stopped watching movies decades ago, and I got to tell you, I can't wait to open the book in the morning, you know, to find new truths. Even in a book like Lamentations, you know, the book that Jeremiah wrote in regards to, it's just a big sigh of our Heavenly Father in regards to all that went down. A book of Lamentations. It's a sad book. Everything he did for them, and they still did that, you know. So it's a sad book. I mean, it'll get so exciting if you stop watching the Hollywood movies, because they're distracting too. I mean, you're making the choice. You're allowing fiction to entertain you rather than truth to educate you, and that's what Satan goes for. You know, it's just like with the rock music too. Any kind of distraction is going to pull you away from, you know, what you would want to do. Because seriously, I mean, the first few years that I started reading the Bible, you know what, almost 40 years ago, yeah. It was boring. It was mind-numbingly boring to me, because I really couldn't understand a lot of it, and I wanted the meat. I understood Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, I got to give my life to him, I got to get out of the Catholic Church, because I started reading it in the Catholic Church, right? And so that's when I approached my Monsignor and asked him, I says, why does it say this, and we're doing that. And so, you know, so when I finally got out, I wanted to dig, you know, really, really deep. And the Lord revealed to me, he says, you're not ready to hear it. Just like what the Lord Jesus said to the apostles, you know, that one time, you know, right before he ascended into heaven. There are certain truths that he wanted to share, but they're not ready. Well, it's just like with right now. You know, we can only go so far in the Word. And so it seemed boring to me, but eventually I stuck with it, and eventually it gets exciting. You know, and then when you get to places like the Red Sea splitting and, or Jesus raising Lazarus, or even, I mean, it always makes me chuckle on the idiocy of Balaam, but, you know, I says, come on, man. The donkey turns around and starts yapping at you, and you still have an issue with what you want to do? Seriously? I mean, it's just like with Satan at the end of the 1,000 years, gets new life and energy in him when he realizes those billions and billions of people that finally raised from the dead. He's going to tell them all that he's really the prince and that he's really the owner of the city that just descended, and he's the one that raised them all from the dead, and they can take the city. And he believes it because now he's got newfound life springing up in him because of all his victims are all there happy and, you know, praising him and pushing him on. And this is directly after they all say, him included, that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of Lords, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty and all that. And it's just, but that's the how far stupidity can go in a super genius, super intelligent being like an angel. But that's how far we can be self-deceived. I mean, look at how far Satan did it to himself and how far he was able to do it to a third of the angels. So anyway, going on, she says, where did I leave off here? Is ever giving light. Okay, so the illuminating, right here, we got to pick it up. The illuminating influence of the gospel of Christ and the sanctifying grace of God can alone transform the carnal mind to be in harmony with spiritual things. And so that's another thing too. It's like with the people that left our number, you know, everybody that left our number, let's say, and from, you know, most recently in July to, well, actually they left our number in 2016, but they never told us that. We found out recently that they were preaching error even back then, but they wouldn't tell us that. You know, but anyway, from those people all the way to the, you know, what, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. I don't even want to go there, to be honest with you, because it's, we got work to do. So, but the, it's obvious that when you step off the path, you go into sin, you simply can't see what the remnant people see. And this is why all 10 virgins woke up, all 10 virgins had oil, but 5 of them did not have enough oil because they weren't studying the way they should. They were all on the same page when they went to take a nap, thinking that the Lord is tarrying. He wakes them up. They all know what time it is, all 10 of them, not just 5. They all know he's coming. But 5 of them weren't ready for it, and they certainly could not see the dangers of not being ready. And just like with what's going on now, there's the people that left our number from recently to the last 15, 20 years, they're preaching some of the strangest things out there. And some of them, the most recent ones, are using our name to do it. Well, to cash the checks anyway. So, but keep that in your prayers, because we have precious souls out there that are being led astray, and they're thinking that they're still connected with us, you know. But they're being taught carnal things. They're not being taught spiritual things, because you can't. It's just like with all the churches, all the 501c, which is all of them, SDAs included. They can't preach, you know, the current events, the prophetic events that are going down. They can't. It's impossible to preach something you do not know. The Lord thy God is not going to give you utterance when you're disobedient. I mean, he can still use you to bring people to the Lord. He could also use you to prevent people from being harmed. You know, and it's just the way it goes. I mean, he'll use you, but wouldn't you rather have him use you for the good things? I mean, I would. So, she goes on. Paul did not venture to directly rebuke the licentious and to show them how heinous was their sin in the sight of a holy God. You know, because, you know, the Lord winks at our times of ignorance, and sometimes you just got to know that, yeah, some of these people don't know, but when they did know at one time and then walked away and then now they start calling you a cult, okay, then you know what you're looking at. And so his work was as a wise instructor, oops, scrolled up too quick, to set before them the true object of life, impressing upon their minds the lessons of the divine teacher, which were designed to bring them up from worldliness and sin to purity. To bring them up from worldliness and sin to purity and immortal life. So amen and amen. Anybody here, let's see how many families we got in there. I'm just curious because I just saw the CPU spike to like 90%, which is not a big deal because the bandwidth is fine. it's just fine. It's the only thing we're having an issue now is the computer can't handle the load. And if I can't build this computer, this new one, in a week, I'll just use the video editor to do the stream server, not the stream itself, just the server. All right, let me take a little peek. Yeah, we only got six families in there now. I'm just trying to figure out why it's such a CPU hog. But anyway, I'll figure that out later. I'm just keeping an eye on it off to the left here. So anyway, she goes on to say that the spiritual senses must be matured by continual advancement in the knowledge of heavenly things. Now, do you get it now why I say we got to read the Bible daily? So, you know, okay, I'm saying it again. You need to read your Bible daily. Why? Well, I'm going to reread the sentence. The spiritual senses must be matured by continual advancement in the knowledge of heavenly things. And you ain't going to get that. Now, like Jesus told Nicodemus, how am I going to tell you heavenly things when you can't understand them? You know, because it's just like with anything. It's just like with these, you know, 501c3 preachers out there. You know they're listening to us. Or people that believe the way we do. It's not just us. And then they'll come up with a fancy $1 million video and make it look like they all figured out that this certain event's going to happen soon because they heard it here first, right? And we don't care about that part of it. If you want to take the truth that we're presenting the last 30, 40 years, which now we have a vindicated platform because, you know, I can remember 40 years ago, people laughing and saying, yeah. Now they're going, how did these people know this stuff? Because now it's all solidified. It's all happened just as they think we said it would happen. And the reason I say they think we said it would happen is because that's as far as their mind can handle it. They can't understand that we didn't say it. We echoed it because it was written in the scriptures. He said it first. It's his story, or history, as they call it. It's his story. We're just echoing it. We're doing our duty. We're doing our job. And but that's fine as long as they get it. We don't care how they get it. It's the same thing with Satan. He doesn't care how you worship him as long as you do it. Well, it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He doesn't care how you embrace or get to the truth as long as you get there, because he'll take it from there. Just like, well, Satan will take it from there too. You know, that's like today you don't see a lot of statues of Baal. Unless, of course, you saw that video I made a few months ago where the Vatican literally put Chemosh, child killer, abortionist of their day, the pagans, Chemosh, a big golden idol, right out there in front of the Colosseum. And nobody caught that in today's society. Why? Because the wound's been healed. He's got that power now. He's just playing his political games, wait for the perfect timing for the other shoe to drop, because he knows, like we know, he can't do thing one. He can't even conjure Satan to stand. Well, I don't think he's going to have that power anyway. Satan's going to make that decision on his own when he stands and acts like he's Jesus Christ and tries to shut us up by enforcing, you know, the mark of the beast. That, none of that can happen until we go forth. Now, they could fake it and act like it's happening here or happening there, like with their 7-year trib falderall or their secret rapture stuff, or even the return. Yeah, whatever false. Because a lot of people say, oh, look at this looks like this one prophecy of the Vatican. No, it's not a prophecy of the Vatican. It's an agenda. That's as far as it can go with them. And our Father can say no. You know, just like with their plans to enforce the mark by the year 2027, our Father could say, no, that's the wrong timing, you know, because I've made my decision. My day and hour is such and such a date. We don't know that date. Neither does Satan, though. Satan, like us, can only know the season. You know, he can see the signs, and he's getting scared. That's why everything's out. I mean, think about it. The masks, the social distancing, the lockdown. See how obvious this is. You can't go to church with the fake virus. You can't go to church with that. But you can go to a strip club. You know, it's obvious who's controlling all this. Why doesn't he want them to go to churches, even though the majority of them are already under his thumb? Because they're all 501c3. Well, because the loud cry is not just going to be soapboxes on street corners or on internet websites. Some of us are going to get to stand in a pulpit, behind a pulpit, in a Sunday-keeping church and proclaim it. You know? Like one time when I went to buy pews from an old preacher out there in Danville, Illinois. he put it on Craigslist or something like that, and I needed some pews because we started a little home church when we finally, you know, moved away from the big city. And he had these planks, these old, like 100 years old, really old-fashioned pews, and he wanted like $25 a piece. I says, I'll beat a path to that man's door, so I went over there. And I brought one of my boys, I think my oldest, and before I was getting ready to leave, it was a Wednesday, and they were having a meeting. And he asked me to, would you mind sharing what the Lord has laid upon your heart? I said, you ain't got to ask me twice. And so I jumped on the pulpit and told him about the signs of the times and how the world is coming to an end and all this is happening, that's already happening. And I was only up there 10, 15 minutes. That was it. One guy did contact me after that, so one heart was blessed. The rest of them probably thinking, this guy's a nut. I wonder what they're thinking now, though, now that it's all happening. And no, it's not because of what I said. It's because of what he said. Our God, which art in heaven, hallowed be his name. He's the one that wrote it, not me. So, going on. Thus, the mind... let me backtrack. So, the spiritual senses must be matured by continual advancement in the knowledge of heavenly things. Thus, the mind would learn to delight in them. Boy, it's nice. Thus the mind would learn to delight in them, and every precept of the Word of God would shine forth as a priceless gem. That's why, and now I got to put kind of like time limits on my Bible studies, because sometimes you just don't want to put that book down. In eternity, yeah, you ain't got to do it. The only time limit I'll have then is, oh, Sabbath's coming, and it might be Monday. You know, like we'll still have the week. You'll still have the 7 days of the week. You don't think so? Well, then explain how we're going to come to the seventh day every week, you know. And so let's say you start a really in-depth study on Sabbath day, and all of a sudden you look at your watch, if you have one, and you realize, oh, wow, I've been studying this for 7 straight days. Who knows? We'll find out when we get home. But sometimes you just can't put it down. So... And so I understand, like, those of you that have 9-to-5s, I got a 9-to-5, obviously, but my 9 could start at 12 noon or 2 p.m. because, you know, I do my updates on the site and I do my work online after I do my studies. So that's what, you know, dictates my day is when my studies end. But still, I can't keep going because I've got work to do. But in heaven... Yeah, I can understand the priceless gem here. But so he goes on to say that the apostle had dwelt especially upon practical godliness and the character of that holiness, which must be gained in order to make sure the kingdom of heaven... What? Something's dangling here. So the apostle had dwelt especially upon practical godliness and the character of that holiness, which must be gained in order to make sure of the kingdom of heaven. Okay. I think I missed something there. Anyway, he wished the light of the gospel of Christ to pierce the darkness of their minds, that they might discern how offensive their immoral practices were in the sight of God. You know, praise his name for winking at our times of ignorance. I mean, seriously, we all praise his name for that, obviously, because it's amazing how much he puts up with us. You know, because I remember about the first few years of my Christian walk, it was all I could do to, you know, overcome certain areas in my life. It was just really, really rough. And it's every one of us go through it because, you know, who's sitting there waiting on you to fall? Yeah, he's unrelenting. The enemy of souls is going to do everything he can to just mix it up and mess you up and ruin your day, if you will. So, but man, oh man, he has such patience. Now think about that too, the beauty of the patience, because with patience, you know, comes experience on top of that, would experience hope, but, you know, and then godliness. But the thing is, a lot of us, myself included, when you pray, you want your prayers answered yesterday. And that's another thing too, and I praise his name for this. If any of you have been going through this lately, the last few months, the Lord has been, especially the last few weeks now, the Lord has been, and I bring it up every time I pray, is, Father, teach me how to pray. Okay, granted, I've been praying 40 years. Well, actually, I've been praying since I was a little tyke running around in prairies talking to caterpillars, but still, I just have a back and forth. And my back and forth with the Father is, you know, the same way I would think Jonathan and David would talk when they would hang. You know what I mean? But when Jonathan and David were in the temple, let's say, and David's on his throne. Well, then you hit your knees, Jonathan, and you show respect unto your king. Well, yeah, same thing here. I'm going to kneel before the people. I'm going to kneel to start my midday prayer. But once I get out there and start talking, yeah, it's like the back and forth of Jonathan and David thing. But still, I still feel at times, because I just keep them in my day and I share all the things that I'm going through the day and what I'm hoping to do in the next few days and what's happened the last few. And what I... Because the thing is, a lot of times, and I see this in myself a little bit over the years. I see this in a lot of other people, though, where the Lord thy God becomes an order taker. And we're constantly praying for, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And I says, Father God, please teach us to pray to where it's not about us, it's about you. Okay, granted, or it's about someone else that needs help, because I pray a lot for my children and my church family. And since I'm probably the oldest, my church children. And so I don't know if anybody's older than me in the church family. I think, yeah, there are a couple of guys. I do talk to JP, as a matter of fact. I don't know if he's in the room tonight, but he just left me a message the other day to try to get back to him, but it's kind of hard, difficult to get a hold of him. But and so I have some brethren that are a little older than me, but I still can't get over. Amen, Brother Arthur. We all do that. We forget about the part about His will. Good point, because it's. It's like that thing I read the other day that's on the fridge here at the house. If you knew, and I'm paraphrasing the daily, it's out of it, of course, it's from Prophets and Kings, but if you knew the trial that you're going through right now, if you knew exactly what's at the end of it, you'd say, yeah, no problem, let me go through that, even if it means your death. Yes. I mean, look at the guy that pulled the Bethesda, 38 years. Look at the guy that was born blind. Look at the girl with the issue of blood for 12 years. There's a reason for the timing. We all have our own tests. We all have to do this. We all have to do that. And we just have to just... He's got a reason for when He's going to allow it to be answered. Or even if it never get answered. When we get home to heaven, where it's not going to be about sicknesses, it's not going to be about worries or desperation or despair or any kind of problems, it's all just going to be amazing. Then we're going to understand why we went through this, this, that, and that. And it's another thing, too, when you're reading the scriptures and you're seeing how this, you know, like what Balaam did or even what Daniel did and why he knelt in light, the way he did three times a day. Whether he stayed on his knees the whole time or started his prayers on his knees, I'll find out when I get home and I'll ask him. I said, you know, because I have a tendency to start my prayers on my knees and then I like to walk and talk. But except for, you know, morning and evening prayer. Yeah, I stay there and pray that way on my knees. So, but she goes on to say, I mean, I just can't get over his mercy. Even the angels can't figure it out, you know. We all know that, too, in regards to how Jesus, the creator of the angels, no less, died for us. Such mercy. And the way He looks the other way, He winks at our times of ignorance when we have these immoral practices that we're doing in the sight of God. And that reminds me of that one guy in the street. He was trying to become a Christian. He couldn't. He was having all these problems in life. And he was reading the Bible every day. And he says, well, what's going on here? He says, are you doing something you shouldn't be doing? He says, no. He says, well, what about some sins you did in the past? And he goes, well, yeah, there are some sins I've done in the past that kind of bother me. And he says, well, why did they bother you, man? You confessed them. So, oh, no, I've never confessed them. What, are you nuts? Seriously, are you crazy? Why didn't you confess them? Oh, that's too embarrassing. I don't want to tell him about all that. What, you didn't think you did that immoral act right in the sight of a living God? You didn't think... I mean, what would be easier for you to do? Asking him to forgive you something that he saw you do, or just plain do it and let him watch you do it? I mean, I could literally see the lights go on in his eyeballs when he goes, wow, I never realized that. Yeah, you did the sin right in front of him, and now you're embarrassed to tell him that you did the sin. Would you think he missed that one? You know, it kind of brings you back to the day of Elijah when he was trying to say, oh, ho, ho, but you know, Baal might be snoring. So, you know, yell, scream, do what you got to do to try to get him to burn up that sacrifice. No, your Lord doesn't go to sleep. And so he goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, therefore the burden, no, Sister White goes on to say that therefore the burden of Paul's preaching among them had been Christ and him crucified. And so if the Father could look the other way, sometimes we got to do it too and concentrate in areas where they're just lacking. And so he concentrated in that area because once, see, like, in my wife, bless her heart, she reminds me of this a lot. A lot of times I'll say, look, I got to talk to my daughter about this, or I got to talk to my son about this. And then she'll snap me back into reality saying, look, they're not going to get it. They don't trust Christ yet. We have a couple children that don't follow him. And that's difficult to watch. And some of you parents, you know what I'm talking about. It's not easy to see. And so that's where you got to concentrate. You got to just introduce Christ. This is why I gave them all Steps to Christ, that booklet. Oh, man, it's a beautiful book, especially when you get into the pages around, I think it's around 72, page 72. Wow, that floored me the first time I ever read it. So, therefore, the burden of Paul's preaching among them had been Christ and him crucified. He wished them to understand that the theme of their most earnest study and greatest joy should be the grand truth of salvation through repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because that literally is all of it. None of, in a trillion years from now, when we're discussing this, because we'll have perfect memory, and so we can probably discuss this if you'd like, all of this, it's what he did for us so that we can be in heaven. It's just, you can't put it in words, so I'm not even going to try. Okay, because even the angels can't figure that one out, so hey, I'm nowhere near, I'm dumb as a bag of rocks, and so there's no way I'm going to be able to put those words together. But the nice thing is, neither can an angel, so at least I'm okay there. So so she goes on to say that the philosopher turns aside from the light of salvation because it puts his proud theories to shame. And that's especially, she's no doubt tagging in when it comes to Darwin, because he was around in her day from what I understand. So the worldling, she says, refuses to receive it because it would separate him from his earthly idols and draw him to a holier life for which he has no inclination. In other words, he can't see it. There's no grass on that side of the fence at all for him. And doesn't even realize it's actually greener. But that makes perfect sense. It's just like with the evolutionists. They can't declare there's a creator. They can't put down evolution, because if they do, then that the only other option is creation. And if they have to go along with creation, then they have to admit there's a God. And if they have to admit there's a God, then they're in a heap of trouble and they know it. And this is why they hate Christians. Because our, better yet, when he comes, the breath of his being, Jesus Christ, because he did raise from the dead, even though they say he didn't, that fact alone ticks them off, because it's all true. What he said, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. But they don't want to put that out there, because if they do, then they have to explain this or explain that. Hence the reason for the 10-foot chain link fence with the razor wire all around Mount Sinai. Hence the reasons the Muslims won't let you go up on Mount Ararat, where the real Noah's Ark is, not those weird ground formations that show up in the hundreds all over the world that, what's his face, said it was Noah's Ark. Ron Wyatt. Okay? Ron Wyatt said this was Noah's Ark. I've got photos of Noah's Ark. I actually had a video, and like an idiot, I didn't download it because the link is broken now, of a Korean father, or maybe he was a South Korean father, brought his sons inside Noah's Ark with a camcorder back in the 80s, one of those big honking camcorders, and videotaped the stalls, videotaped everything inside Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat. They even took down chunks of the wood, you know, the gopher wood. That was my very first track, as a matter of fact, when I started, well, when the Lord asked me to manage for him this particular duty, which he called Presence of God Ministry, because he's the one that named it, right? because I asked them, I says, you know, presence? Yeah, not P-R-E-S-E-N-C, but P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, presence, like a gift. And the first track I ever wrote was about Noah's Ark, and I had a bunch of data showing how it's on Mount Ararat, all the way down to the guy that the in World War II, I think it was Schlagenheimer, was his last name. It's in my very first track. As a matter of fact, it's on the website, the very first track I ever did. Let me go there real quick to show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to POGM tracks, right there. Did the artwork and everything. That's not the greatest artwork in the world, but but there it is. The flood came. Let me just see. That's the back of the track. Well, it was folded the way I drew the hand with open book, open gift box, because it's always open. You know, the gift box or the. And I did it on parchment paper at, I think, Office Depot was at the time. And then there's the other part of it there. But it was all about Noah's Ark. And I had all this evidence and pictures. Well, I didn't have the pictures in here. There's no room. Ron Bennett. This is one of my favorite ones. Ron Bennett, UPI White House photographer during the Carter administration, was on board Air Force One while on an escorted flight over Mount Ararat. He was told, along with everyone else on board, to look out their windows and see for themselves Noah's Ark. And if you read the article where I got that from, you would find the reason they were told that is because there was a warm winter. And see, there was an earthquake on Mount Ararat, and the Ark broke in two. Because it was up there in the ice and was frozen. When the earthquake happened, it broke in two. Most of the Ark slid down the mountain, slammed into that Catholic monastery, and the whole thing was covered in ice and snow and debris and... That's where those monks are buried. They're still in that monastery. You can't dig them out. It's, you know, hundreds of feet deep of just whatever is on top of them. But the rest of the Ark stayed up there, sticking out of the ice, and you could see, because it broke in half, you could see in it. And you could literally see the stalls and those big barrels where he held the water, and everything is in there. And because they had a warm winter, the ice kind of melted back, and you could literally look inside. If you saw the article, you'd see what I was talking about. Dr. Kyle Baugh, as a matter of fact, does a good thing on this, and I do put it on my, where we go here, Presence of God Ministry. Go to the Creation Evidence section, Bible Truth, Evidence and Creation, and I got a section here. Oh, here's the false arcs. Oh, maybe I don't have the pictures. Yeah, Ron Wyatt, that's this guy here, Ron Wyatt. Those things are popping up all over the world. But here's some of the pictures I had. There you could actually see it sticking out, and there it is again, right there sticking out. But that's the actual human bone. See where the fingertips are touching the top of that 6'2" man, Adam and Eve, 16 feet tall. You know, but there is a section here just for Noah's Ark, and I just updated. Oh yeah, there it is. Okay. I think here it is. There's the newest one. It's an HD movie or something like. Oh, we're not going to sit through all that. Some commercial, but you know where I'm going with that. So yeah, it's on the site, and it's just amazing. But where did I leave off here? Oh, here it is. Paul saw that the character of Christ. Okay, yeah, so Paul saw that the character of Christ must be understood before men could love him and view the cross with the eye of faith. And so if Paul does it that way, we got to do it that way too. Now, granted, it's a good door opener with letting people know with a loud cry, and that's why it's going to be going forth that way. A lot of people are going to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior when they realize that all the seeds that were planted in their lives up until the day of the loud cry when we go forth and water those seeds, that's when thousands, tens of thousands, millions are going to become real Christians. And that's why Satan's doing what he can to keep people out of churches, but keep them in strip joints. Social distancing, so you can't get close to people to talk to them about Christ out there in the world. Put a face mask on so that three things, in fact. Number one, it gets you sicker. Number two, you can cover your face and rob a gas station. And number three, you can't really talk that well to someone across the room, especially if they read your lips, you know, like if they have a problem hearing. And number four, compliance. Do something you know is wrong to do. And if you want proof that it's wrong to do, I do have a page on the site all about it. Go to the prophecy section, go to Prophecy of Today, the last link. That picture right there is a picture of a person who just got done taking a hit on a vape cigarette, put that mask on, and then exhaled. That's how effective it is, okay? And so, and then this is the mask up here, is what you should be wearing if you had to worry about it, like an infection. But that's the mask that got everybody. That's a mind control device, is like it says there. And then the hospitals were getting $13,000 to diagnose a death as COVID-19. That's why the numbers went through the roof. The CDC, when it was over 150,000 people dead in the U.S. supposedly, the CDC slipped and put it out there and documented it that it was only 600 dead. The rest is all fabricated. But boy, did they hush that puppy up. And then, of course, another 39,000 that they used a ventilator, but the problem was it was actually killing people, so they kind of nipped that one in the bud. So let me finish up, because we're going over. And she says here, wait, let me backtrack. Paul saw that the character of Christ must be understood before men could love him and view the cross with the eye of faith. Here must begin that study which shall be the science and the song of the redeemed through all eternity. In the light of the cross alone can the true value of the human soul be estimated. And then we'll pick it up here next week. And which I probably didn't go one page. I'm sorry, everybody, but you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just moves. And I got to say what I got to say. And so let's just see. It's the third paragraph. So let me write that down here, page 125. Third paragraph. Can you hear the rain, by the way? It's like banging on the metal part of the roof. And where am I going to pick it up here? Okay. Right here. The refining influence of the grace of God. Oh, won't let me copy. I'll just type it in then. The refining influence of the grace of God. There. All right. Let me save that so I don't lose it. There it is. Okay, if you can kneel, we're going to finish in prayer. Looks like we didn't have any hiccups with the streamer, even though only 6 families used it, or 8 families at the most. We'll see how it works out tomorrow, but I'm definitely going to build a new one. All right, if you can kneel, well, you're already there, sorry, please bow your hearts. And lift holy hands onto heaven and look upward. Look at your Father, He's there. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us as you have. Thank you for giving us all that we need so that we can glorify you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit that you have sent to guide us. Thank you also for blessing each and every step of the day so that we can bring as many in as we can. And thank you for giving us utterance, understanding, and focus, especially when we read your word. And thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain when that day comes. And we offer this prayer and this praise and oh, and Father, please, thank you for reminding me. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that were mentioned earlier, all the prayer requests earlier. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us and teaching us how to love you back. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King and Creator for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.